To be here to talk to you about the Lord, and we're glad you're there. We sincerely hope that you will take what he has given me to say and will give me to say and customize it to you for just where you are. Amen? Amen. And God has a way of doing that. He has a way, because he knows who we are, all of us. He knows the things that we're handling and dealing with and all for, and he's got wisdom, beaucoup, beaucoup wisdom. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I trust that that's what he will do. So talk to you about the unopened gift, knowing God. Christmas was God introducing himself to us, wanting us to know him. And too many of us don't know him. Too many people on this planet don't know him. Okay, so I've got a lot to say. Let me get to it. Okay, so how well do you know this gift? How well, really, do you know this gift? Most Christians barely are acquainted with Jesus. In fact, you could say that, given what all there is to know about the Lord, all of us are barely scratching the surface. Amen? We're barely there. So billions of gifts will be opened by millions of people. Now, I remember when our children and grandchildren came to see us. You know, my wonderful wife had all their packages packed up and stuff because, you know, instead of mailing them, they'll just take them up with them for Christmas and open the gift. The grandkids wanted to open the gift right now. And I wanted them to open one or two, but, you know, I was voted down. I have you to know. I'm not going to have nerve for them to see one or two. What's the problem? But no, we got to wait till Christmas. Okay. And so billions of folks are going to open a lot of gifts. But billions more are yet to open their gift. My goodness. Folks, that's why we're here. You know that? There are so many folks who haven't heard about Jesus. Or heard about it correctly. Okay. Look at John 3:16. I know you know what it says, but when was the last time you looked at it? You know, scripture is looking at it. That's when you get the most out of it. Even when you can quote it. Now, certainly if you don't have a Bible with you, then of course. For God so loved the world, he so loved it. The measure of his love was such that he was compelled to do something about the condition the world was in. He so loved the world that he gave the gift of his only begotten son. Hallelujah. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, every time you read verse 16, read verse 17 too. They go together. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish from what? You know, most Christians don't stop on that. Perish. What do you mean perish? Perish from what? Perish from what? Amen. Most Christians think perish means, that means you go to heaven. Yeah, but what about the rotten here now? Too many folks don't think about that. They're waiting to go to heaven. Did you know that going to hell is not the only way to perish? Amen. That's just one of the ways. Eventually. Folks are perishing right now. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Lack of knowledge of the gift that was given. It's not all about going to heaven. See, that's a part of it. What about the, I was going to say the 60, 70 years. And then I decided I should quote scripture. What about 120 years I'm supposed to spend on this earth? What about them years? Is you supposed to just live around until you die, go to heaven? Or is that going to do anything with what happens those 120 years? If you didn't know that, look at Genesis 6. Let me remind you. Well, I don't want to live that long. Okay. If you knew why, you might be motivated to. Here's part of it. We're talking about the gift that was given, right? What if Christians lived longer than non-Christians, period? Think about it. Do you think eventually this world would be a better place? There'd be less murder and fraud and cheating and all that, right? So I just gave you one reason why you should think about living longer. Hallelujah. I mean, just think about it. If Christians did nothing but live longer than everybody else, people would want to know it. Huh? If nothing, then some folks want to become Christians because of it. Amen. And the kingdom would grow because of it. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Amen. Hallelujah. What about 120 years? Eternal life. Perish is not all about going to hell. He says, but so that you can have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Did you know everlasting life doesn't start after you go to heaven? It starts right now. It starts the moment you get born again. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Everlasting life starts right the moment you get born again. First John chapter 3 verse 2. 1 John 3 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. Not when we go to heaven. And it doth yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It just gets better. But it begins right now. John 10:10. The Bible says the thief cometh not. Let's look at it. Some of the scriptures is, you know, we are a teaching church. When you get born again, the next thing you have is get taught the Bible. That's why some folks haven't opened that gift. They think it's all about going to heaven. No, that's what happened at the end of life. Huh? That's the destination. What about the journey? Hallelujah. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Remember now, don't quote that in misorder. He comes to steal first. Steal what? Steal knowledge of what all is involved in the gift. We're talking about Christmas. It is the gift that should have kept on giving. The folks receive salvation, then that's it. In fact, they don't even receive all of salvation. They receive the new birth, ready to go to heaven, and that's the rest of it. There's plenty more in the box. Amen. Have you ever gotten a box of gifts? and you took something out, and then you thought that was it? And then maybe on the way to the trash, you looked at, oh, there are a couple more things in there. That's what folks have done about the gift that was given on Christmas. They've taken the go to heaven part And then have a look to find out what else is in the box. There is plenty more in the box. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the thief comes to make sure you don't find out what else is in the box. If he could have gotten you, if he could have stopped you from getting born again, he would have done it. Since he couldn't stop you from getting born again, now he's going to stop you from finding out what else is in the box. And I'm not pleased to say he has done a pretty good job of it. The thief cometh not but for to steal. That's the only reason he comes, to kill and to destroy. And the first thing he goes for is knowledge. The word. The word. Look at Mark chapter 4. Let me show you that. The first thing the devil comes for is the word. He's not coming at you because he hates you. Whatever, who you are, that makes no difference to him. He's coming at you because you have the word. As long as you have the word, you are a threat to him. Remember now, this parable is the legend of the kingdom of God. If you don't know this parable, Jesus said, how else would you know anything else but the kingdom? That's verse 13. If you don't know this parable, how then will you know all other parables, all the kingdom? He says, the sower sowed the word. And these are they that wish and so forth. It says, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately. What for? To take the word, to take knowledge, to take knowledge of what else is in the box of Christmas. Ooh, glory. This is coming out better than I thought. That's exactly what it comes to do. Take the knowledge. I couldn't stop them from getting born again. I want to make sure they know nothing else about what's in the box. And like I said, not pleased to say that he has done a good job of it. Look at verse 17. And have no root in themselves, and so are endured for a season. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arise, why? For the sake of the word. To take it out. Take out that knowledge. So the people would perish. Remember now, he sent his son that whosoever believes in him would not perish. Well, the devil comes to make sure that you do perish. Persecution. When they say bad things about you because you're a Christian, the devil is trying to get you to abandon Christianity. Abandon the word. Abandon Jesus. Well, look at verse 19. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the loss of other things coming. Why? To choke the word. The word is the target the whole time. If I can get that word out, they will not know what else is in the box. The Christmas box. That God gave us. Yeah. So John 10:10, it says the thief cometh not but for to steal. I just showed you what he comes to steal. So now, do you suppose is this stealing going on right now? Or is he waiting until you go to those who go to hell, that is? Oh no, the stealing is going on right now as we speak. Therefore, the other part of that is also going on right now. What is the other part? Well, go to John 10:10. The thief coming up, the stealing is going on, the killing is going on right now, so to speak. The destroying is going on. But Jesus said, but I have come, glory to God, that you may have life. That too is going on right now. Not until you go to heaven. But I'm trying to get you to see. You know the stealing is going on right now. You know the killing is going on right now. You know the destroying is going on right now. Well, the other part is also going on right now. Trouble is, folks don't know it. Huh? Because they haven't looked in the box to find out what else is in it. Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Whew. They got a new birth out, and they're waiting to die to go to heaven. At least we'll go to heaven. Maybe that's why some of them, they rush them. Talk about this. This world is not my home. Did you know it is your home? You're coming right back here when it's all said and done.
Amen.
Amen. Heaven is nothing but a holding place. We're not going to be there that long. And then we'll come back right here. Us all. God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This whole thing will be renovated. Glory to God. I tell folks, environmentalists, if you want zero emissions, you want to make heaven. That's the only place you're going to get it. That is the only place you're going to get it. Ah, my. Hallelujah. Because men and women and boys, girls, and their greed is always going to keep polluting this earth. Huh? You know, it's interesting how Westerners think that now that they have advanced and passed the Industrial Revolution, so the Chinese are like, no. We haven't gone there yet. Don't tell us about not having coal plants. Oh, no. We're making coal plants every week. You all can do what you all want. Woo. I tell you what. Abundant life. I have come that you may have life, that you might have it abundantly. That's a part of what's in the box. The Christmas box. Not just dying and going to heaven. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. Abundant life is so now. The moment you got born again, you began. If you knew it, you're supposed to have begun living abundantly that very second. But nobody told you there were more items in that box of salvation. In fact, the word salvation itself in the Greek means a lot more than just going to heaven. It means preservation, it means safety, it means endurance, it means every good thing.
Amen.
All right? Mark chapter 10, look at verse 30. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this life. That's to carry you through the 120. Ooh, glory. Now in this life. And then, did you see that? Mm-hmm. Now, this time, houses, and then in the world to come. Mm-hmm. Folks have gotten born again and pressed the pause button. We're going to go to heaven. That record is supposed to still be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas, the gift that keeps on giving, but folks haven't looked in the box to see the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And so billions of gifts will be open. But the gift is yet to be opened by many. But like we've just been saying, even believers haven't looked at the rest of the box to see what's in it. Look at John 3. Let's go back to John 3. Look at verse 17. Like I said, they go together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved. He so wanted us to have everlasting life that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, my. Whosoever believes in him will not perish. Not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it. He didn't send to condemn it. Christians have to be aware that their disapproval doesn't come across as condemnation. I mean, there are all sorts of lifestyles and sin, all that, you know, people do all kinds of things. It helps me to know. I believe the Lord showed me. Folks are trying to be happy. Remember that. Remember that. People are trying to be happy. They don't know, some of them, most of them don't know. What they're looking for can only be found in Jesus. And so those of us who are Christians disapprove of all of their, you know, things. And we often don't display enough love along with the disapproval. So the devil takes the disapproval and translates it into, oh, them folks don't like you. They hate you. That's the devil's plan. So as Christians, we have to be really, really, really watchful to make sure that we communicate more love than we communicate disapproval. All that's back to that word condemn. Jesus didn't come to condemn anybody. He came to show them the way. Here's how you can get what you're looking for. Peace, joy, contentment, fulfillment. I hope you don't forget that. Communicate more love than you do disapproval. Amen.
Amen.
And that love will deal with whatever the folks are doing that, you know, you disapprove of. It will. The Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. When they find out how good He is.
Amen.
Oh man. Okay. So it says, for God sent not His Son to condemn it, that the world through Him might be saved. Again, like I said, saved from what? That's the question too many Christians don't have an answer to. If you ask most Christians, saved from what? Well, saved from sin. See, that's the typical answer. The correct answer is saved from the curse. That's the correct answer. And that, of course, includes sin. But sin is only 30% of that. The curse has three parts. Spiritual death, which comes by sin. Sickness and disease, and poverty. By the way, those are the other two things in the box. Whoo, glory.
Amen.
To take you through the 120 years. Hallelujah. So billions of others, Christians that is, have opened the box, but have ignored some items in the box. They have. Here's a statistic. One of the items that we ignored is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Got born again and that's it. There's more in the box. They've ignored healing. So here's a statistic I just came across. Only 26% of the church is Pentecostal or charismatic globally. Globally. 26%. It ought to be 100%. Now, here's what the devil has done a good job of that, hasn't he? He has done a good job of making it look like Pentecostals are ignorant, idiots, bumbling, emotional, basket cases. Because they talk in tongues. And the smart folks don't realize the word tongues simply means language. That's all that means. I could speak to you right now in the Nigerian language if you would think it's tongues. Just a language. Just a language. A language that is given by the Spirit. Natural languages are learned. Huh? A child grows up speaking his or her what? Mother tongue. Huh? Oh yeah. A child grows up speaking their mother's tongue. The word tongue is language. That's all it is. This is the language of the Spirit. He dumps it into you just like that. That's all it is. And you can speak it as unemotionally as you speak English or Spanish or Portuguese or German or anything else you speak. Nothing wrong with emotions, of course. We are emotional beings. But we've ignored that. We're 26%. It ought to be 100%. That's globally. In the U.S., the percentage is 4.6. Think about it. 4.6% have opened the gift of speaking with other tongues. Oh, what a blessed gift it is. Many a time I found myself in a situation, didn't know to turn left or right, and just started speaking in tongues. And here comes the revelation about what to do. It's not a badge of spirituality, it's a tool. Hallelujah. It's an item in that box of living the abundant life. When you have something that the doctors don't know where it came from, when they are stumped, you don't have to be stumped. Glory to God. You can connect your spirit to the Spirit of God and get revelation downloaded to your mind. But folks have left that item in the box. And so we're not equipped to deal with what folks call mental illness. See, we're Christians are limited to the realm of the natural. Much of what we call mental illness is demonic activity. I didn't say all of it, but much of it is. What makes someone get a gun and go into a school and just shoot everybody they see? Well, where is that coming from? That's not natural. It's supernatural. Supernatural bad. You see, we have locked ourselves out of revelation of those kinds of insights because, you know, we are civilized. We have our MAs and MDs and PhDs and, you know, we don't talk like, you know, I'm not going to say something I don't understand. Really? Left stuff in the box. I tell you what. I didn't mean for this to be a series, but I already got two series going. Look at Book of Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts 2. This is what the Bible says about Book of Acts chapter 2. This is the day of Pentecost. That's where the word Pentecostal comes from. Huh? It's the Bible, the day of Pentecost. An experience that happened on a day that Jesus told the disciples to expect to happen. Why would that be wrong? Why wouldn't every Christian embrace that? Why would only 26% of Christians globally, 4% of Christians in the U.S. embrace that? Look at Acts chapter 1. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he talked about Jesus. He commanded them. Commanded. Not option. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days in. It took exactly 10 days after Jesus resurrected. Jesus commanded them. Don't look like we have an option about it, but folks haven't taken that out of the box. They've left it right there because it doesn't sound civilized. It's just too, the devil got in there and got things messed up. But people got all emotional with it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Look at verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, which means that until he does, you won't have any power. Huh? That must be what it means. That's why he commanded them. Wait, so you can get this power. Without it, you don't have it. You have the necessary insight to see beyond concepts. And I'm using mental illness as just one of them. You have power to go beyond the natural and get insight into what's really going on. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Power to be a witness. That's who we are. And so he commanded them, and so the day came. On day number 10, verse 2. He says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come. That's the word where that's where Pentecostal comes from. It's all in the Bible. Mm-hmm. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were assembled, and suddenly he showed up. Mm-hmm. Sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. That's what Jesus told them to wait for. Why would only 20% of Christians globally receive that gift in the gift box? And so they begin to speak in tongues, and the people obviously don't understand this. This is the first time it ever happened. So Peter gets up and starts to explain it. Look what he says in verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized in water, that is, every one of you in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's one gift folks haven't received. They've received the gift of salvation, but they haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They should. Peter goes on and says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. How many is left out of that? Sounds to me like this is an all-inclusive experience. Not subject to choice. But we have made it subject to choice. I want that item. I don't want the other ones. It says, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That sounds to me like it includes every single Christian. What do you think? My. But we have left the gift in the box. We have. Let me just go through real quickly and show you. Look at the book of Acts chapter 8. Show you what the Bible talks about. So you know it's not just a couple of scriptures. And if you haven't received this gift, I can help you receive it. It's as easy as being born again. In fact, I ought to come together. Book of Acts chapter 8, revival breaks out in Philippi. You can read these chapters, all of them if you want. Verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And they responded, okay? It says in verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which through his faith, hearing and seeing the miracles he did. And so they received the gift of salvation. They unpacked that box God gave at Christmas and took out salvation. But that's all they took out. And then the apostles decided, oh, these folks maybe don't know there's other stuff in the box. Let's go show it to them. Again, we don't have time to read this chapter, so you can read the rest of them. You can read that between these verses. Look at verse number 14. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, opened the box and taken out salvation, you might say, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Get another item out of the box. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. You say now, see that it doesn't say anything about tongues there. Well, what do you think Simon saw? Verse 18. Oh yeah. So what did he see that he was willing to pay money for? Verse 18. And saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He must have seen something. He said he saw. What did he see? He saw them speaking in tongues. But then Peter, verse 20, says, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God. This is a gift. It's also in that box, that Christmas box. Folks have ignored it. Christians have ignored it. 74% of Christians globally have ignored it. Maybe that's why we ain't got any power as a body of Christ. Maybe that's why they can make fun of us and get away with it. Maybe that's why we're all poor, relative to where we're supposed to be. Sell chicken dinners to get anything done in the kingdom. Maybe that's why we ain't got any power. They don't make fun of Muslims. They don't dare make fun of Muhammad. But Jesus is free game. Maybe that's why. 74% have ignored the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's go to chapter 10. Let me show this is not just isolated. Okay? It's 9 too, but I'm going to skip 9. Go to 10. So here's a Gentile, Cornelius, verse 1. He's seeking God. Doesn't know a whole lot. And so an angel appears to him and asks him to send. That's verse 5. So he sends to Joppa. He calls Peter, the apostle Peter. Peter comes and starts to preach to his family. Okay? Look at verse 43. Peter is explaining the gospel to him. To him give all the apostles talk about Jesus, witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that's the Jewish Christians that came with him, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know that? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. The best way to magnify God is to do it in tongues. There's no better way. Scriptures actually says it. But we have ignored the gift. Too many Christians have ignored the gift. One more verse and then we'll go on. Look at chapter 19. This is a necessity in the body. I hope those statisticians are wrong. That is only 26%. globally are Pentecostals. By the way, only 26% are also evangelicals, he says. That's almost as astounding as evangelicals are Christians who believe in evangelizing. In other words, in letting people know that in going into the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, basically. 26%? That's it? Sometimes I feel for the father, frankly. What if you had a family like that? I mean, you know, 76% of them don't give much about what you want done. My goodness. It's a good thing he's God. He can take it. He can handle it. But let you and I give him pleasure. Amen? Alright, Acts 19. Look at verse 1. Came to pass, Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, found some disciples, asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Doesn't that suggest that this was to be expected? Oh yeah. So he leaves Jerusalem, he's traveling across the place, comes to Ephesus, finds a bunch of believers and said, "Hey guys, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" That means it's to be expected. And they said, no, we haven't even heard about it. See, it'll go back again to lack of knowledge, right? Nobody told them about it. They have a better excuse. They didn't have a Bible. We have a Bible. We can read. We've been to school. And so they said, what were you baptized to? And they said the baptism of John, right? That's in verse 4. And so then verse 5, and when he heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh my. Again, this is in the gift box. It's not to be ignored. We're not to throw the box with these gifts into the trash. Too many Christians have done that. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Here's another gift in the box we've thrown away. What's my time? Okay. Here's another box in the gift we've thrown away. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay. If you start from verse 1, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. The gift that the Spirit gives. Okay? You come to verse number 9. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts, plural, gifts of healing. That's another item most of the church has not taken out of the box. The tendency, the attitude is, you know, God gave that gift to doctors. See, if you believe that, you have to do away with one of God's names. One of those names is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee. Amen. Doctors are an aid to us. They don't take the place of Jehovah Rapha. Glory to God. Because there does come a time when they are stumped, don't know what to do. When they tell you they are practicing, they mean it. Hallelujah. Much of the church doesn't, you know, when it comes to God healing you, that's what doctors are for. Thank God for doctors. I've got one. That's another gift we have left in the box. In Mark chapter 7, verse 2, we don't have time to turn to that. But the Bible calls that, let's go ahead and turn to it. We'll get to this. I will not make this a series. I got a couple going. So, Mark chapter 7. Here's an example. Jesus calls. Okay? So, here's a Gentile woman. Heard about Jesus. Has a child. Verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered into a house. Talking about Jesus. And would have no man know him. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman, he said, why did he want him to know? Well, he had to have rest. You know, Jesus was a man. He was a God man. He never ceased to be God, but he was every bit human. So he had to have rest. But the crowds wouldn't let him rest. Everywhere they go, he went, they were just thronging him. Okay. Verse 25. A certain woman found out that he was around, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. See that? Most of the church reads that and like, what? Clean, unclean? What does that mean? No concept. What does an unclean spirit mean? Oh, man. It means what it says, a spirit that's unclean. It's a demon. That's what that is. A demon. And I know some of us Christians are too civilized to think about, to talk about demons. It's like, when the 22nd, 21st century turn around, demons all disappeared. I wonder where they went to. Oh, you can find them in Africa and Asia and places like that, but not in Chicago. Oh, no. Who do you think is killing all those folks? Who do you think is behind drug addiction and fentanyl and all of that? Demon spirits. That's who's behind them. But we're too civilized. We have sent somebody to the moon. The devil is stealing the church blind. Forgive me. I don't mean to be so excited. This is just to you, it's because see, there is a natural world and then there's a spirit world behind it. If you want to know what's going on in this natural world, you have to have insight into the spirit world, because the spirit world created the natural world. It preceded it. And too many folks now I can understand if you're not a Christian, as a believer, you ought to know about it. A supernatural world. So woman came to Jesus. Said that a young daughter had an unclean spirit. When she heard of Jesus, verse 25, she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Gentile, but she believed. Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread. Jesus called deliverance the children's bread. That's what you give children. This is a gift of deliverance, healing. You give children this. My goodness. People say, why are you insulting? No, he didn't. Jesus didn't insult anybody. He got her attention, so. She didn't take it as an insult anyways. Amen. Point about all of this, and there's a lot packed into this I don't want to get into. But the point about this is that Jesus called it the children's bread. Children have a right to eat bread, do they not? They have a right to be fed. And you don't require children to work for the bread they eat either, do they? If you do something wrong with you. Amen. No. Children just are supposed to sit there and eat bread. They're not supposed to buy it. They're not supposed to bake it. They're supposed to eat it. Parents buy it. Parents bake it. And kids just sit there. Dinner's ready. And we are children. Did you know you'll never become God's adult? You don't become a God's adult because you turn 18 or 40. Mm. You are still His child.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And healing, deliverance from demonic activity is your bread. Mm. You have a right to it. It's in the box. Don't leave it in the box. Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. Look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6. And then we'll wrap this up. Here's something else that's in the box. Folks have left. The gift of Christmas. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Luke 6. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse number 38. Give, ye shall be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give. Here's another gift that's left in the box. The gift of prosperity. Hmm? At a point in time, the devil got the church so confused that poverty was equated to piety. Imagine that. People took an oath of poverty. Who exactly can you help if you are poor? How much of the gospel can you preach or support? But that's another gift we've taken out, we've left in the box. Thank God we're finding that out.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? We're finding that out. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The gift of prosperity. It's also in the box. The folks have left that in there too. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You should know where I'm headed by now, right? At least to some of you in church. Verse 9. For you know, you should know, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? So he might give you rich. Huh? That's what that means. That you through his poverty might be rich. Jesus took our sins to give us the new birth, did he not? Huh? Well, guess what? He took our poverty to give us prosperity.
Amen.
And that's a gift that folks haven't taken out of the box. And so folks prefer to, here's their way. They've come up with their way. We'll get a job, and if that doesn't work, we'll get another one. Nothing wrong with that per se. Right? You're supposed to have a job. Unless you're retired. Or own a business. That doesn't work, on another one. Nothing wrong with owning a business. God called you to it. We'll invest on Wall Street. Nothing wrong with that, per se. Or we'll gamble. No. Everything is wrong with that. Everything is wrong with that. What's wrong with gambling? It's a zero-sum game. Multiplied millions have to lose for one person to gain. God doesn't play those kind of games. God is the ultimate win-win person. Amen. That's what's wrong with it. But you know, the work of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So one of these days, he might lead me to buy the lottery ticket. But how, that's how you know. If he led you, you would win. Huh? Oh, yeah. And you don't have to play it every week either. You'd fast and pray, Lord, is this really you? Kind of like Peter. Remember, before the gospel got to the rest of the world, he's out there praying, and God says, "No, Lord, you know we don't need that." If God prepares you a meal, food, eat it. No, God, you know we don't eat that. He was trying to tell him, listen, the time has come for everybody to get this gospel, not just you Jews. You know, but he didn't know it. Now, you can't blame it too much. This was the first time. And so folks have gone that way instead of going the way that he set up. Tithes and offering. No. We'll do this. We'll do this. No, you all do that. But unless you get into tithes and offering, your job can't afford you. I've said that many times. It can't afford you. Your business can't afford you. You can't work so many jobs to be able to get to a place where God wants you to be at. They pay you just enough to keep you coming. You know that. I mean, they give you $100 raise. What is that going to do? Just to keep you coming. That's it. If you want to get on prosperity, you got to get with tithes and offerings. I mean, that's just the way it is. So folks have left that in the box. And because of that, the Father is hurting. I'm closing now. The Father is hurting because billions of his children are doing without. Yeah. You know, and that's very, as a parent, you know, when your child is doing without, it hurts. Yeah. It hurts. As a concerned relative. When a relative is hurting you, but that's what he is. That's what he is. He has sired many, and most of them don't know him. Those of us who have even met him are barely acquainted with him. And he wants us to get to know him more. To take all those gifts out of that box. Mm-hmm. And find out about how good he is. Amen. 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 It's not just about dying and going to heaven. He wants us to have, like Jesus, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly right here in the rotten here now. My. Okay. I'm obviously not going to go through all this today, but let me read this one verse. And I might, depending on how the Lord leads me, finish the rest of this last week. But here is two scriptures, and then we'll close for real. Help me, Jesus. 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23, you know that psalm, right? In the connection with what we're talking about, he says, ooh, glory. I'm just going to do one verse. Look at verse 5. You have prepared a table before me. Oh. Huh? When you read that, think of the Thanksgiving table. When families get together and there's everything there on that table. God has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. What's he talking about? Enemy of poverty, sickness, disease? Huh? All of those items in the box are on display on this table. And just like in the box, folks are leaving stuff on the table. They can help themselves too. Because they don't know. Now, my last scripture. Look at the book of Isaiah. May I tell you? This brings, let me see. It brings a tear to your ear, to your eye. You may not actually cry, but if you hear this. Verse 1, the vision, Isaiah 1:1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Here it is. Hear, O heavens! God is talking to the heavens. Imagine that. Give ear, O earth! For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. My goodness. And that this is the one that really gets to me. Verse 3. He says, the ox knoweth, cattle know. Cattle are branded with the brand of their owner. The cattle know who their master is. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass, the donkey, his master's creed. But Israel, my people, do not know. Huh? My people do not know. I've got more items in that box. My people have not considered to look into the box. There's a reason why it is so big. There's probably more than one item in here. Let's not be so quick to throw in the dumpster. The gift of Christmas. Some have not opened it. And those of us who have opened it, too many of us have only taken out one item. I don't know about you, but I'm digging into all the box. Find out everything is in it.
Amen.
You ought to do the same. You know why? Because it costs God dearly to send us that gift. You know, he didn't go to Walmart or Amazon to get that. Amen? He gave his only begotten son so he can get us. So let's determine to go for all of it and leave nothing in the box.
Amen.
What do you say?
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We praise you and we bless you for the gift of Christmas. The gift that keeps on giving. Even if we're not receiving, it keeps on giving. Because it is your nature to give because you're love. For you so love the world that you gave and you haven't taken it back. Your gift did not come with a return to sender envelope. Mm-hmm. My. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for further revelation. As we look in that box to find out what else you gave. To press on. And then to have a heart to tell those who haven't even opened the box at all that there is a box. It contains everything you could ever want. That we might continue to be light and salt and show love to folks who are looking here, looking over there, looking over this way, and trying to find what's bugging them. It's a relationship they don't have with Jesus. At least we have opened the gift enough, the box enough to get one gift. We know how good that one is. So that we'll pass it on. Pass that knowledge on. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say it?
Amen.
All right. Anybody? Do you know Jesus? Folks, we pray for you. Family, parents, siblings, spouse maybe, children perhaps. It's time to receive the gift of Christmas. Not like any other gift. This is what you want. This is really what you've been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But now you should know. You're still looking. Well, I'm telling you, here is where you your search would stop if you receive him. Amen. You have anything against Jesus? Have you ever heard anything? You have anything against him? Not against us Christians who don't represent him as well as we should all the time, but against the man Jesus. Do you have anything against him? Have you heard anything? Has he ever hurt anybody? Mistreated anybody? No, you haven't. That's because he hasn't. Neither will he mistreat you if you receive him. I'm asking you to receive him today. Before you, 2 days, 2 or 3 days later, you open those other gifts, receive this one gift. Nobody who has ever received this gift wants to return it. Nobody. Nobody wants to return it. Oh my. No regrets. I don't know any Christian who regrets ever becoming a Christian. Like I've said before, I'll say it again, the only regret we have as Christians is that we're not better representatives of him in every situation. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't. That's the only regret we have. So receive him today. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you as my gift this Christmas. Thank you, Father, for sending the gift of Jesus. I open that box and I commit to learning more and more about what else is in the box. Lead me, Father, to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I receive my prayer language. Thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I add my faith to your faith. And I pray for all the other areas of your life. Your career, your job, your family, if you have any, your spouse, if you have any, all of that. If you follow Jesus and do as he says, not as, you know, some preacher or prophet, whatever, as Jesus said, if you follow him, you will begin to enjoy abundant life and it will never end. There's more and more and more of that life to have in every area of your life. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for sending that gift. And we will be, if you live anywhere around here, my life is 100 miles because, you know, folks drive 200-300 miles to go to some concert, do they not? You can go drive 100 miles to go to church. If God sent you to a church, church going is a calling as much as church pastoring is. And so don't let the distance stop you. Okay? But if you're further than that, keep watching, and we know that some of you watch us from other countries and so forth. Nigeria, got a bunch of people watching that. And so we love you, and Merry Christmas. Make sure you open that gift and you get all that's in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.